Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Monday morning, live from our 102.5 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. We are going to be joined by Corey Curtis here in just a second from News 2 as he calls in, so we'll get his thoughts on the Titans. A lot of people, Matt, we're being Vols homers, apparently, with that last segment.
Yeah, you homer.
Gosh. Vols defense sucks.
Yeah, how dare you. Talk about how bad they were.
I know. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our buddy Corey Curtis from News 2. Corey, good morning. How are you?
I'm great. Just celebrating that Tyson Bagent, Josh Dobbs, Jared Goff could all find a way to win this weekend, but Jordan Love couldn't.
He could not. It's a tough one.
Higher draft pick.
Tyson Bagent.
Carolina.
Heisman Trophy winner.
There's that.
Yeah. The Division II quarterback beat the Heisman Trophy winner.
Are you ready to call Bryce Young a bust and get Rex Road fired up?
No.
Oh, there's people doing it.
I know. I know there are.
Yeah. No, it's still too early. You got to talk about the squad that's around him and all those things. But, you know, you can look at it and say the C.J. Stroud can really sling it.
Oh, yeah.
And that probably should have been recognized a little bit better. I'll say that.
So, Corey, it's tough to watch at this point with the Titans. I was talking about this earlier. I feel bad for Titans fans having to watch this every week offensively with that offensive line.
I felt bad for myself yesterday.
Yeah, it's brutal. Just absolute brutal football.
Let's all have a pity party
to watch.
Yeah, I felt even worse because I watched the Colts and Patriots.
Oh.
And I said, what did I do to deserve this?
Just back-to-back misery yesterday. On the Levis front, how do we – look, I said this earlier. There's going to be some games that he has moving forward here where he looks very good and the Titans put up some points, all those things. There are going to be some games where it looks bad. I'm watching the line yesterday, though, Corey, and I don't know how we're going to learn that much one way or the other about Levis the rest of the year just with how bad that offensive line is.
Well, I think what you can learn is what he's made of. You know, what is his ability to hang in there and take hits? And what's his ability to stand by his teammates, through the bad stuff? What's his ability to elevate those teammates? I thought one of the interesting comments he had after the game was talking about the back-to-back false starts. You know, he didn't call out Dylan Raiden's by name, but he talked about that sequence and just, you know, that they're professional football. I think he literally said, we're professional football players. That can't happen. And he's right. You went from 2nd-and-1 to 2nd-and-11. And that's just, you know, a little microcosm of the game. That's a preventable mistake. And so I think I personally like some of the calling out of your team, saying we're professionals, we have to be better than this. You know, and so I think being in this stressful environment will also reveal some stuff about him that you can learn from. You know, not that you want to learn this necessarily, but it's something that's going to teach you something. I mean, shoot, Troy Aikman went like 1-14 his first year, and he learned about him. He just he kept coming, kept taking the hits, and kept hanging in there. And so I do think there's valuable stuff we can learn. You just hope he doesn't learn bad habits because of it.
So what? How would you evaluate just how he played yesterday?
He finished the game.
There is that.
It's a dub.
No, I mean, he finished the game and he stood in there and he continued to take the shots. I mean, was he awesome? Was he dynamic? No. Did he have the opportunity to be? I don't think so. He hit Chick for a touchdown, but that really disappointing season goes on and it bounced right off of his hands. So, I mean, and you know, how many other opportunities did he miss? I'd have to look at the All-22, you know, to see. But I think we can all acknowledge, I think the stat I saw, 29 passes in, he'd been hurried 15 times. That's a high number. And so, you know, and also somehow, some way, a team with giving up 280 yards passing a game, and playing, you know, replacement defensive backs, somehow, some way, I didn't see a ton of separation all over the field.
Well, to that point, Corey, the skill positions outside of Hopkins at wide receiver, which not a great day for him yesterday, but the body of work for him has been good.
Yeah.
Specifically, Okonkwo and Burks. I know Burks didn't play. I am concerned with those two to the point where I don't know how you rely on them moving forward. Not saying you move on. I'm not saying that you give up on them. But, like, you cannot rely on Burks and Okonkwo moving forward.
You know, and I thought those two were really going to – I mean, with the summer that Treylon had, I really thought he was going to have a nice year. And I was excited to see him play. And with the development we saw from Chig, you know, he caught pretty much everything that came to him last year. He made plays with the football in his hands last year, and you were excited about what he could do. But he struggled to catch the ball some in camp, and that has followed him into the season. And it looks like his confidence has taken a shot. Even one of the plays that he caught the ball on, he almost dropped it. And he had to, like, double or triple catch it before he hauled it in. So those are two guys, when I looked at this team and I was excited about this team and seeing what this team could do, those are two guys that I was really, you know, expecting to take a step forward in year two because of things I had seen, not just hope, but because of things that I had seen. And so for them to take a step back like this is really, really, you know, crushing for this team. And you're right, we're halfway into the season. And at this point, you know, Chig is playing the way he's playing. Treylon struggles to stay on the field. At this point, it would be very difficult to say, you know, we expect Treylon to come in and give us 80 yards this game. We expect Chig to catch 5 passes, you know, for 60 yards this game. Now, the guy who's starting to be someone who you're saying maybe he can be a bigger part of the offense is Kyle Phillips, who didn't seem to be on the field a ton yesterday. I don't know the snap count, but in the first half, I kept looking for him to be on the field after the game he had the week before, and I didn't see much of him. But once again, you know, leads the Titans in receiving yards. Not that that was that difficult to do yesterday, but after his horrific start, seems to be lobbying to be on the field more.
So I've been huge on this, Corey. It's been a talking point for, you know, going back to camp. But at this point, seeing how bad it is at left tackle, and, like, that's obviously mm-hmm. the spot where, you know, you can really get Will Levis hurt. I am now officially on the give Skoronski a try at left tackle train. I mean, like, mm-hmm. if you have to play Dylan Radins, I think I'd rather have him inside. He looks more competent inside, I think, than outside. What do you think? Do you agree, and do you think at any point it will be seriously considered?
They've been pretty stubborn on this. That, you know, and I understand why. Like I said, you know, the shortest distance between two objects is a straight line, and so you want to be stout on the interior, so you just don't have that guy right in the quarterback's face, and he can step up and throw the football. You know, the problem is when you have guys on the edge who completely miss, that's a pretty short path as well, and that's the ultimate problem, is that what they're getting is so unacceptably bad that it's baffling. It's baffling that Xavier Newman can go start for the New York Jets. Now, that's a bad example because the Jets' offensive line really stinks. But it's just baffling that other teams can fill gaps with players and not completely fall apart. And, you know, a couple of years ago, the Titans were able to do that, remember? I mean, yeah. David Quisenberry, who's the dude from the Falcons they brought in for like 5 games before he, like, broke himself in two. They had him. I mean, they had guys and they plugged in and they played them and they were able to continue moving forward. And I guess that's because you had veterans like Ben Jones and Roger Saffold who were able to help you kind of absorb that. But right now, it's like, you know, the hole in the dike where you just stick your finger in. Yeah, and then just another one comes up. I mean, because it's bad. And, you know, last year, what did Vrabel say? We might have 5 new starters on the offensive line.
Yeah.
I still you got to look at next year and say you probably got to have 4, at least 3. I mean, because it's not good enough. I mean, I don't. What do you guys think when you watch the offensive line? To me, I only say it's one person. You know, we take turns. They look overwhelmed. I mean, they just look. I mean, they might have one or two good plays.
It's the worst offensive line in the NFL. Yeah. Worst offensive line in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's a question. I mean, you know, they and the Jets could have a beauty contest, and maybe it could come down to the silly question they ask at the end. But I mean, they're terrible. And look, they're nice guys. That's got nothing to do with it. It's got nothing to do with it. The results have everything to do with it, and the results are terrible. They're terrible. We ask Vrabel about it, and he talks about not being able to handle the road environment. And we're talking about the offensive line because they're the group that is vastly different home and away. For whatever reason, they're able to communicate and perform at a level that puts up 26, 27 points in a game at home. But they get on a road. The Titans have now played 9 consecutive road games that they have lost, and they have scored 16 points or fewer in all of those road games. Because this game, you guys know it, it's one in the trenches. Yes, you can have Patrick Mahomes. Yes, you can have Tyreek Hill. And yes, those guys are amazing, and they are game changers and fabulous. But you saw with Patrick Mahomes, when the Chiefs gutted their offensive line
in the Super Bowl,
signed him to that massive contract, well, the first 8 games of the year, he got the tar beat out of him. And then they went to the Super Bowl, and the Bucs beat the tar out of him, and they didn't win the game.
He couldn't do anything because he had no offensive line in that game.
Yeah, and so, you know, that offensive line got better, and now they're back to being the Chiefs. But ultimately, the game is won in the trenches. And I think when the Titans look back at this offseason, what they will learn from it is you get what you pay for. And if you try to build an offensive line on a budget, that's exactly what you get. You get Dollar General blocking up front, all right? And you don't need Dollar General up front. They the minimum need Target.
Well, Corey, last thing for you here. If it continues this way, which there's no reason to think it won't at this point.
No, and you're absolutely right.
And they end up, I don't know, 6-11, whatever their record is at the end of the year, and it just looks as rough as it's looked offensively. What's the message from Amy Adams Strunk at the end of the year? They just made staff changes. They just fired Todd Downing, promoted, moved, and shuffled their coaching staff around. What's the message from A.B. Adams Strunk in your mind beyond the, well, just go draft better players this offseason?
It's a good question because it's what she believes is the problem with the team. You know, are Vrabel and Carthon unified in what the problems are with the team? I think that's an important thing that has to be resolved. Is it all roster? Is it coaching? Is it schematic? Is it training? You know, those are the questions. You know, how much blame do those guys put on things when they're talking to her about the construction of the football team and the execution of the football team? Because right now, they're from the John McKay School of Execution. They're all for it. All right? They do not look good. And so I don't know what you guys think. I look at it and I say, you know, I don't know who's coaching this football team, but I don't know how they're going to win. All right. They need a better plan to add players. And they need a better way to evaluate some of these guys. You can't throw $10 million at a guy just because he was a first round pick. You know, we all saw it and said, well, maybe it'll work out. It didn't work out. It was a complete waste. They may as well have given Dennis Daly $10 million. I mean, because it's an absolute disaster over there. So they have to look at their evaluation process, and they have to look at their investment process about what they're putting on the field. Because right now it purely looks like a player issue. Because how many players are leaving the Titans and going to other teams and just blowing it up outside of A.J. Brown, which we can all lament that trade some more?
Yeah, not a ton.
No, I watched Greg Newsome score that touchdown for the Browns yesterday to basically win the game. He was available when they picked Caleb Farley.
Yep.
And, you know, he was all over everybody's draft board, but for whatever reason, you know, the Titans took a guy with history of knee and back problems. And so, you know, these are the things that set you back that have set them back now for years, and they've had trouble overcoming, you know, because they've been trying to overcome bad first and second round picks. Those are pillars of your franchise, pillars, because they're the guys that you got to have who got to perform at a really high level and hit you low in the salary cap. And the Titans have whiffed on so many of those guys, they've had to reach in free agency to try to replace them. And, you know, that's why you keep bringing in corner after corner, you know, Sean Murphy Bunting, Jackrabbit Jenkins, to make up for these guys who you're whiffing on in the draft. And it's why you're, you know, bringing in, you know, Chris Hubbard and Andre Dillard and Old Mother Hubbard to try to play tackle for you, because Isaiah Wilson and Dylan Radins are complete whiffs. And, you know, you've got to be able to hit on these guys, at least at a decent percentage. And I know I'm ranting here, but the hit rate is not good enough in the last years. It's why there's a new GM, and it's why he has to perform at a really high level next year when they've got $100 million in payroll, and they still got to find a way to get more picks, in my opinion.
No question about it. Corey, thanks as always, my friend. Thanks for being with us, and we'll talk to you next week.
Did I take a breath that whole time?
It was impressive.
That was Charles. That was Charles Robinson like.
It was. Way to go.
He's got company.
The only question I have is, who picks first, the Titans or the Packers?
That's a good question. It's a close race right now.
It will be good.
Close race. Thank you, Corey.
See you, Corey.
Later.
Corey Curtis from News 2, our guest. A lot to react to from Corey there. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans. They lose 20-6 to Tampa Bay yesterday. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Monday morning. Titans fall 20-6 against Tampa Bay. Thanks to Corey Curtis from News 2 for being with us in the last segment. It is difficult to imagine, as I'm sitting here watching that game, Joe, and the line is just getting totally caved in. Will Levis gets hit 13 times, sacked 4 times. Was it just 4? Felt like he got sacked more than that.
Yeah, 4 sacks and I guess 13 hits. Is it 12 or 13 hits? But felt like
a lot.
Yeah, just felt like it caved in on him pretty quickly.
A thought I had in about the middle of the third quarter yesterday as I'm watching all this go down is, Joe, they've only played 9 games. They got 8 more games to go, baby. There's 8 more games to watch this. And there's not, like, the offensive line is not getting better. It's just not going to get better. And we're half a season deep into it at this point. Like, to think that the offensive line is just magically going to get to a point where it's passable is just, it's fantasy land to me at this point. So the offensive line is what it is. They're going to get their butts kicked all year long. And the question is, like, are you going to be able to keep your quarterback healthy? Like, is Will Levis going to be able to get through the rest of this healthy? And I'm with you. I'm not worried about it ruining him moving forward. I'm not worried about, like, you know, some long-term psychological effect it could have on Will Levis. I think if he's made of the right stuff, you can kind of overcome that, and we've seen quarterbacks do that. I am worried about him physically, though. Like, you get hit 13 times a game at some point, regardless of how strong you are and how well-built you are. In the NFL, you get hit 13 times a game at quarterback, it's going to catch up to you at some point. And I'm hoping it doesn't happen, but it got to a point where I was nervous for him yesterday, just with the amount he was getting hit. And not only the quantity of how he was getting hit, he got hammered a few times yesterday. And that can't continue at that rate, and you expect him to be healthy the rest of the year.
Right. And this is why honestly, for the first time since they drafted Skoronski, like, I actually think they need to think about it. I mean, I've never been, like, against it completely. And I totally understand the idea of, you know, he's not taking a rep there. So if a rookie hasn't taken a rep at that spot, what would be reasonable to expect? What would be reasonable to get him up to speed? It's a totally different position. I understand they're both offensive line positions, but it's a totally different position.
He cannot be worse.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's where some of these hits have been the most forceful in the last two games, is just absolute ole action at left tackle. Go ahead, hit him as hard as you can hit him. Go for it. Here you go. He's right there. And basically, to me, like, what's your best combination of people to prevent what you're talking about, getting him hurt? And also, look, I do think that despite the lack of reps and despite the clear plan for him to be left guard for his career, which I don't have a problem with, I mean, maybe you give him a few reps, you give him a look, and he's incredible out there, and you could start thinking about that differently. I don't know. I think that's a secondary reason to do it. But if you had him there, and, you know, Raiden's, and it probably works better at, like, left guard, probably. Yeah. And then you go across, you know, you get Brunskill back. He'll be back. He had an ankle, but he'll be back. You know, Brewer, Brunskill, and Hubbard. And I think that might be your best chance. And it's still not great.
Well, look,
don't get me wrong.
Hubbard was getting his butt kicked yesterday, too.
Yes.
I mean, it wasn't bad. Like Hubbard came in there and the right side of things was solidified.
No.
But
I mean, they had Andrew Rupsich out there yesterday.
Yeah.
So
I mean, at some point,
nothing's going to be good.
Right.
But
you're trying to make the best of an awful situation.
Yeah.
That's what it's about.
Right-handed quarterback, you know, left tackle. It's that can't be your worst spot, and it is. It's their worst spot. And, again, there's competition for that because I agree with you. Hubbard was just had a few plays yesterday where it's just like, man, I mean, just nothing there. So, I don't know. I guess if I had to – predict, I would predict that they won't do that. But I think you really, in that build, I think you really need to have that conversation now just to consider it primarily in the name of just trying to figure out a way to not get this kid hurt.
Right. And that's the thing. Like, I thought Corey's answer was great on the, like, what did you evaluate? How did you evaluate the way Levis played yesterday? He's like, well, he finished the game. I don't know what else really more to say about it other than that. Like, The opening drive looked good. It was a nice, I think, scripted drive by the Titans. They had some good plays there. Levis looked comfortable moving the ball. He made some throws in the game where I thought he looked good. He had a couple sail on him. He probably, again, Joe, he probably should have thrown two, maybe three picks yesterday. He ends up with one. So he's been a little lucky from that regard the last 2 weeks. He probably should have thrown more picks than he actually has to this point. But, again, there's just so much constant pressure that he's under right now from a pass rush standpoint that it's very difficult to evaluate what he is right now. And how much is that really going to change as the year goes on here? Again, like I said, he's going to make some plays, and his arm talent, he's got enough of it where there are going to be some games and some throws that he has moving forward here that you can learn some things, and they'll be able to figure some things out about Will Levis at the end of this year. But it's purely an evaluation standpoint, the circumstances are way less than ideal just because there's such a problem on your line that it's not a fair evaluation for the rest of the year, which is unfortunate.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And as some people point out, he got hurt late in the game.
Yep.
I thought maybe, ribs, sternum, something like that. You know, he reached for it.
Stayed
on the
in
ground.
There.
Yeah, he stayed in there. And, look, I do think another thing that needs to be an adjustment moving forward is, he's fast. He can move, and we haven't seen a lot of that. I mean, I think it's great to stand in the pocket and take those hits and still try to deliver the ball downfield. You have to do that as an NFL quarterback. I would like to see him outside the pocket a little bit using that because he can move.
Yeah.
And maybe they need to move the pocket a little bit more, too.
Well, the play-action pass is great. We know what a weapon that is for the Titans. There were a few times yesterday, though, where they're running the play-action pass, and as soon as he gets through the play fake and turns his head around, there's somebody right there in his face. And it's like, wow, you just have no chance at that point. 615-737-1025, our phone number. More of your thoughts on the Titans' loss to Tampa Bay coming up next. It's been a calendar year since they've won a road game. Is this ever going to stop? They're going to figure out a way to win a road game this year. We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. I got some tickets to give away. A four-pack of tickets to MTSU football as the Blue Raiders take on UTEP at Floyd Stadium coming up this Saturday. Be caller number 3, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Caller 3 will win a four-pack of tickets to see MTSU football as the Blue Raiders take on the University of Texas El Paso at Floyd Stadium on Saturday.
Speaking of college football, I got some breaking news.
Okay.
Zach Arnett fired at Mississippi State.
Wow.
So last 2 days, we've seen two SEC head coach firings.
Yep.
Only one of them gets $77 million to do nothing.
Well, I think another one might be coming pretty soon. And I don't think that Sam Pittman is going to
is going to make it through.
I think Sam Pittman is also. Would they like 48-10 to Auburn?
Destroyed.
That's
by Auburn.
Bad. And it's amazing. You think about the momentum he had.
Yeah.
And how quickly it can turn on you. And here's what coach firing that won't happen, which I tweeted and people got very mad about. Like, Clark Lee's not getting fired, guys.
He's not.
Vanderbilt fans are very upset, and I totally get it. This is a disappointing year. But Clark Lee is not getting fired in year three.
No, he will not. You know, usually it's like a if you get fired, it's like people reaching out to you, hey, man, sorry, tough day. If you're Jimbo, if I'm a friend of Jimbo's, I'm like, hey, man, congrats. Way to go.
I'm like, Jimbo, vacation and you're paying for it for all of us, right?
Way to go.
What island are we meeting at that you're paying for my flight?
$76 million to not coach football. And if there's a better job in America, I'd love to hear it.
Well, so now they're paying that, and then they're going to pay a bleep ton for someone to come in.
Yeah.
And
what if they pay for somebody who's already a head coach, and they have to pay that buyout?
Right, pay that buyout, and then pay whatever they're going to pay. And by the way, Texas A&M hasn't won anything since, like, the 40s.
Yeah.
But, you know, they got money.
They do. Way to go, Jimbo. Nice job.
Unbelievable. What's his I know, you know, like, see, it's some Michigan State fans coming at me. What about Jimbo? I'm like, really?
That's what you want?
You want Jimbo? Okay.
You know, Michigan State's a great academic institution, ain't it? I'll go up here and coach.
Way better at learning in Michigan.
$76 million. Shout out to Jimbo Fisher.
The thing is, he can't even be is he just going to, like, I mean, he should just do nothing.
He should do nothing.
Just retire.
Yeah, but why would you do anything?
But, like, he's not even, like, no one would even want him as an OC.
No.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
You know, then they, it's weird. But they had already made this decision, and they had this really overwhelming win, and it's like, uh-oh.
He ought to take some of that $76 million and just slide a couple mil to Jameis and be like, thanks, man. Appreciate you.
That is no doubt.
Yeah.
Jameis.
Thanks for
got
getting me that
paid
job.
Big time.
The Titans on the road. They have not. So this Friday will be November 17th. That is the 1 year mark of their last road victory, which came at Lambeau Field last year on Thursday Night Football, the plane from Green Bay on the way back. So by the time they play football again, it will be over a calendar year since the Titans have won a road game. Why is there such a difference? Because it's the National Football League. Like, this is not college football where, you know, you're some group of five team and you're walking into Neyland Stadium or Bryant-Denny and it's an overwhelming talent advantage for the other team and the crowd is nuts, all those things. Like, it's the NFL. People went on the road all the time in the NFL. Like, there's hardly a difference between home records and road records in the NFL. So why have the Titans been so bad on the road? Like, it's not like they've won a ton of games anywhere recently, but they've played well at home this year. Why has it been so bad on the road in your mind?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think one of those environments, I mean, the opener in New Orleans, I was like, whoa, this place is, and you know, those old domes, man.
Yeah.
Those old domes, that made a difference. I mean, the noise made a difference for them. Now, it doesn't explain how Tannehill played in that game in his otherwise impressive season. Karski. But the road environment mattered there. It didn't matter at Cleveland. Nah, it didn't matter. I mean, those people were there to boo Deshaun Watson. Didn't matter at Indy. You know, I mean, it was a good crowd and all that stuff. I wasn't at the last two. You know, Pittsburgh at night, and that's good.
It's good crowd.
It's always good.
Yep.
But like you said, it's the NFL. I think the answer is that, one, like, obviously their crowd has helped them, but I think it's more like it's fluky that they've won three games almost. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, like, you know, the Bengals win, it was dominant, but that's, you know, if they played the Bengals now, although the Bengals just lost at home to the Texans, but still, like, if they played the Bengals now in any stadium, I think they lose that game. You know, the Falcons are just bad. Falcons are bad. My goodness. But it'll work out well because Vrabel, when he's the Patriots head coach, then he's got his OC.
He does.
Next year.
That's right.
And, you know, the Chargers have lost 13 games by 3 points or less since Justin Herbert has been their quarterback. After the 3-point loss to the Lions yesterday, they lost by three here in overtime.
Yep.
So, I mean, I guess my answer to you is that I look at the home wins as aberrations, and the road losses is just what this team is, bad.
Well, and they played five games on the road. Now, one of their home games was the London game, right, where they got crushed by Baltimore.
Yeah, so yeah, I know.
They've technically been on the road six times. Only five of them have really counted.
Right, right. You know, away from Nissan
Stadium. Away from Nissan Stadium.
You know, and that's I mean, of all those losses, you know, the Saints are not very good.
No.
They're still, I'd say, a little bit better than the Titans. The Browns are certainly better than the Titans. The Colts are certainly better than the Titans. The Ravens are certainly better than the Titans. The Steelers aren't that much better, but they're 6-3, which is pretty amazing.
It is.
And, yeah, the Bucks. I mean, the Bucks are a better team. You know, Bucks are so-so.
But they're not good. Like, the Bucks are not a good team.
No, but that's how bad the Titans are.
I know.
I mean, the answer is the Titans are really bad.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's, like, again, we've been talking about this roster.
They're number 15 in the AFC right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, only
the Patriots.
Remember when Vrabel was asked about the Patriot way in his opening press conference? The Patriot way this year is not the way you want to go.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Adam in Portland. Adam, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, man. Dude, I got to say, like, I'm not upset that we're going to lose football games this year. Like, I've come to terms with that. I think the Indianapolis game really broke my spirit. And that we go to London. I did not expect to win that game. I didn't expect to win the Atlanta game, honestly. So seeing the kid do well is all I really care about. Like, I'm not as devastatedly hurt after every loss like I've been since 1999. Like, I'm actually okay right now. But I will say, man, I'm out on Vrabel. And I hope you guys start to see more and more of that, because, like, I start to just kind of put pieces together in my head, dude. Everything has to be protecting this kid, and I don't feel like Vrabel can do that. Like, I don't think he has the ability to coach up any player to protect him. If it's not like an all-worldly player like Taylor Lauren, who got worse under Mike Vrabel, then he can't coach him up. I know it's just like his players love him. Most players love their coach, or at least publicly. I feel like we could do so much better than him, and we have to, man. They got Rand got the quarterback right, and hopefully you guys agree with that. I think he got it right. You just got to protect him. Go ahead, Joe. I'm sorry.
No, I'm just I. It's too early for me to make a determination as to whether or not they got the quarterback right. I like some of what I've seen, but jury's still out.
Well, I mean, but just look, man. Like. Clear across our team, if your team, they always say it, the team embodies the head coach. Well, our head coach must be undisciplined. He must be not very talented, not very, you know what I'm saying? Like, the whole team is soft. Our D-backs are soft. Our linebackers may be the worst in the league. They suck. I mean, Al Shaier, I hear y'all talking about him, but, like, he's garbage, dude. It's laughable that we're trying to find talent along that linebacking core and, like, make something out of nothing with our safeties. Our tight ends, is there a worst tight end group in the league? Is there a worse tackle group, a guard group? Like, I just go all the way through the roster. I'm like, Vrabel has really done something here. He's not coaching anybody up. So I'm ready to swap him out.
Yep, thanks for the call, Adam. Look, how much of it is Vrabel not coaching him up? How much of it is the roster's not very good and there's not much to coach up? I don't know. I mean, I'm sure that they could have gotten more out of some of the players that we've seen. Like I said this earlier. I am not on the – Titans need to move on from Vrabel train. I think Vrabel's a good coach. I think they're at a place with their roster right now where they don't have much of a chance. And some of that's going to be on Vrabel moving forward to fix it.
Yeah, well, having said that, some of it is on him already.
Some of it is on him already. Now, having said that, like if you're in Adams' camp there and you're ready to move on, when you're 3-13 in the last 16 games, it's hard for me to get mad at that take. If that's the way you feel, then. That's the way you feel. I'm not going to sit here and argue with it. I mean, they're 3-13 in the last 16 games.
Right. I mean, the NFL, if you over a 16 game stretch win 3, then reasonably expect the coach to reasonably expect people to not be totally thrilled with the coach.
Yeah, he's going
to
take some heat.
Yeah, that's totally fair. Now, to the QB question that he brought up there, I have a thought on that.
Okay.
I have a thought on that when we come back.
We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road. Here, 615-737-1025, our phone number. More of your thoughts. This is 1025-1063, The Game.
Oh.
Welcome back in. Final segment of the day. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you. Joe, you had a thought on Adam from Portland's call regarding the quarterback position.
Well, I agree with what you said, which is we don't know. We don't know. And first of all, it's like the right guy, what does that mean? I mean, that means he's a franchise, great quarterback. Don't know. But like Mark and Paris says here, how will you know if Levis is your QB at the end and have a high draft pick where you might get a Drake May or Caleb Williams? I am confident in saying this. Levis has shown enough that he's going to get the opportunity to be the guy. You're going to get the opportunity to quarterback this team with what they hope is an actual NFL offensive line, an actual NFL weapons, et cetera, right? So I'm confident in saying like the Titans, I don't know where they're going to pick. They're not going to draft a quarterback this year. I'm confident in saying that.
I agree with that. The only thing that I would have slight hesitation on that is if they end up being so bad where it's either Williams or May and they just love one of those guys.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to be that bad.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, if you absolutely are convinced this guy – by the way, it's really interesting on that. You know, my guy Brugler, our guy, my coworker, friend of our show – is out there putting Drake May ahead of Caleb Williams right now on his top 50 draft board. I'm like, in fact, he had Caleb Williams third.
Yeah.
He's got May, Harrison, and then Williams. Caleb Williams, which is wild. But anyway, we really need to resist draft talk. We really, really need to resist it. Like, as far as Mark saying, how are you going to know? I mean, I've seen enough from Levis to think he should absolutely get the chance, that he has a chance to be a great quarterback in the NFL. Don't know if he will be. But he has a chance to be, and I've seen enough that he should get the opportunity to play for a respectable, actual NFL offense at some point, which the Titans have a ton of work to create for him, but he should get that opportunity.
He clearly has the tools. Clearly. I don't know how you could deny that when you watch him. Is he going to be able to put it all together and be one of those guys where you can compete for championships with? I don't know. Like, well, there's so much beyond even just him that has to go right for that to be the case. But, I mean, I agree. If I had to put a percentage to it, I mean, it's 99% for me that he's the quarterback next year. The only way I would leave that open is if the Titans are so bad where they have one of those top few picks and they just love one of those quarterbacks. Because I've said that before, like, you know, if you're evaluating it and you feel like you got a quarterback that you just can't miss on and that he's going to be a guy that's special in the league, then you got to take him. But other than that, they're drafting a tackle.
Right. Now, I don't know if this is trolling. I don't think it's trolling. But this goes to like the whole like Ohio State quarterbacks have never done anything. Who cares? What does that have to do with C.J. Stroud?
Yep.
Nothing. The texter says, QB has no history of winning anything. Lost to Vandy at home as a senior. Throws pretty passes. Shiny, but it ain't gold. Go back and look at Patrick Mahomes' college career and some of his losses. I mean, come on, dude.
Did they ever win more than like 8 games with Patrick Mahomes?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
You got the helmet that a college quarterback wears and the history of that, you know, means nothing at all. I mean, I'm not saying winning doesn't mean anything. Like, Joe Burrow won a natty. He also had, like, one of the best teams ever put together in college. But still, like, right? Like, winning's great. But come on.
Patrick Mahomes,
that doesn't mean anything.
By the way, Patrick Mahomes' record as a quarterback in college, 13-19.
Yeah, there we go.
What did I tell you?
And he's potentially the greatest quarterback of all time when he's done playing. So please, let's stop.
Joe, real quickly, rapid fire. Vanderbilt gets destroyed by South Carolina. 47-6. Tennessee, we talked about 36-7, their loss to Missouri. Vanderbilt, I expected them to lose. South Carolina is not a good team, and they got right against Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt has gotten significantly worse from last year to this year, and that is it's not good. And look, I'm with you, and we'll talk about this later in the week. I'm with you on Clark Lee. He's not getting fired. I will say I'm starting to struggle to see the path out of this for him, though, because – they're going up 2-10 this year. We've talked about their schedule for next year. It is brutal, and it's hard to imagine them winning more than 2 or 3 next year if there's not dramatic improvement. And if you have that, then I don't know what the future is going to look like for Clark Lee.
Yeah, no, look, it doesn't look great. They got some decommitments going on. You got another offseason with You got a small collection of very talented guys who other schools will be looking at, and they will be trying to poach them from you. Trust me, and they know this.
Oh yeah,
and I can't disagree. It's a very disappointing season. I mean, he used a, you know, everybody's making a big deal out of the punt quote. You know, Ken gives us a chance to punt, which again to me means like so we don't turn it over. But I get it. You know, that's something for people to jump on. If you're a losing coach, people are going to jump on everything. But he also said he was, quote, disgusted with how his team finished the game. And I will say there was a – I think it was a little screen, a little swing pass or whatever for a touchdown. Yeah, looked to me like at least three or four dudes just sort of jogging out there. I mean, and look, it's hard. The negativity in college sports and college football, it's already a terribly difficult job. And then the negativity starts building on itself. And then in a place like that – you know, Clark Lee may someday look back and say, you know what? I could have had other head coaching jobs where I had a chance to win, and this was not it.
Yeah. Well, next year, get your SEC schedule, have Virginia Tech as a non-conference opponent. By the way, the SEC schedule next year for them also includes Alabama and Texas.
Well, that's fair.
I mean, they have Norfolk State, SMU, and Georgia State, so maybe three wins there. That's about all I can see for Vanderbilt next year.
Yeah.
Not good.
No, it's not. I totally get Vanderbilt fans being upset, but also, like, anybody who took that job, really, to me, needed to get 5 years.
Preds lose a tough one Saturday night, 7-5 as well. They're back in action tomorrow. Rough sports weekend around here. We'll see if the teams can rebound this week. That's going to do it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. Hope everybody has a wonderful rest of their day. Jason Big Joe up next. This is 102.5, 106.3, The Game.